verse number 6 of Luke chapter number 6. And this particular miracle shows up in Matthew and also in Mark as well as in Luke. And we know it to be the miracle of the Jesus healing the withered hand, the man with the withered hand. Verse number 6, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. Matthew and Mark doesn't give us that detail, but Luke lets us know that it's his right hand. Verse number 7, and scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, ask you to help me. Lord, bring to my attention, Lord, everything, God, that I need to see tonight, everything that I need to say. And Lord, I'm not interested in saying everything that could be said. Lord, maybe about this scripture and even our thought tonight. But I'm interested, Lord, in you getting personal. And Lord, I'm really interested in you getting personal with me. Lord, it's been on my mind even since I left the house that I may be preaching to me tonight. And I certainly need to be preaching to me. But Lord, I'm sure that I'm not the only one here tonight, but help us to be open, receptive, Lord, to what you would say to us. Lord, you're our only hope and our only help. And Lord, I know that when many times I'm struggling, Lord, it's my fault. It's never the Spirit of God's fault. It's always my fault. And Lord, help will only be had when I assume those responsibility. The responsibility of the struggle. And then, Lord, seek to look in my life as to the cause. And those things that would be carnal, those things that would be fleshly, those things that would be, Lord, not of the Holy Spirit, that I would remove those things from my life. Because most time when I'm struggling, Lord, it's because something is in my life that doesn't need to be there, shouldn't be there. Lord, give me the willpower, the desire to repent. Give me the willpower, desire, Lord, to remove, Lord, things in my life, whatever is necessary for me to be effective, Lord, for the cause of Christ. And Lord, may the folk here tonight do the same. And Lord, we'll thank you and give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm looking at the passage here in verse 8. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. And then he says to the man in verse number 10, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so. And his hand, I like this statement, was restored whole. Boy, I'm glad that's the ability of our Lord, isn't it? He's in the restoring business. And he's in the business of restoring whole. And I like that. And he said he restored his hand even as the other hand. So, but I'm interested in that word withered tonight. The word withered, best I can tell, in the definition means to dry up. It means to dry up, to shrink, or to shrivel. But the part of that definition that I want to emphasize as far as our title, topic tonight, is where it said that it was withered or it was dried up. The other thing that I believe the Lord wants us to point out tonight, that not only this man was had a hand that was drying up, but I noticed where he was at. He was in the synagogue in verse number 6. Jesus entered into the synagogue, which was their place of worship. It was their church, so to speak. All right, so Jesus is dealing, so we know this scene that's taking place is inside the sanctuary or inside the synagogue, okay? And inside the synagogue was a man with a withered hand, a man who had a hand that was drying up. And here's the thought the Lord burdened my heart about right before I'm talking about minutes. Changed my course for tonight's service. I want to preach tonight, Lord, help me on going to church, but drying up. Going to church, but drying up. Here's a man, it doesn't say, it doesn't give us the details in Matthew, Mark, or Luke as to was he a regular attendant at the synagogue. We don't know if this was his first time going. We don't know if he was a regular, if he belonged there. If he went there often, we don't know. But here's a man that was drying up. Of course, it was a physical issue, but we can make a spiritual application. He was going to church, but he was drying up. And I wonder how many times that right there has defined me. Going to church a lot, going to church often, preaching, teaching, standing, being in a position, whatever. You feel in that spot, you're there, you're counted, you're one of the numbers, you're there, but you're drying up. You're drying up. And nobody had to tell this man that. If anybody knew it, and everybody did know it. When this drying up process started, Brother Scott, nobody knew it because it was so undetectable. But when it advanced, and by the way, this drying up process doesn't stay small. It starts small, but it don't stay small. And it's going to get bigger, and it's going to be more consuming. It's going to take over. Whatever was wrong with this man's hand probably soon would have affected his arm. Would have probably moved up his arm. Probably would have spread to his shoulder. Probably would have eventually, over time, had have spread probably throughout his body. But he knew he had a problem. He knew he had a drying up problem. And seemingly, until Jesus showed up, there was no help for him. But he was going to church anyway, and he was drying up. And that has defined me many times, and I wonder if it may be defining maybe some here tonight as well. We don't need to stick our head in the sand and act like nothing's wrong. There's struggling going on in every direction at RBT. We don't like it, but we ought to understand that if the devil's going to fight anybody, he's probably going to fight us. Amen. If he's going to fight anybody, he's going to fight us. He hates us, and we ought to hate him. But I'm glad that this passage, this illustration, this miracle was put in the Bible to show us that there is help for you. There's help for me. Going to church and drying up. Going to church mechanically. Going to church just as a process, a habit. And you're drying up. And I noticed something about that dried up condition as I thought about it. It didn't say that it was dead. The hand that was withered had life in it. It was lacking liveliness. It had life. It was still attached to the body. It was still a part of the body. Amen. It was still called a hand. It was still a part of the body just as much as the other hand and the feet or any other part of the body. It was still as much part of the body. But yet, it was dried up. And it had life, but it was lacking liveliness. It did not have the abilities that it once had. And that's the purpose I think the devil wants to bring about this drying up process is to do away with our abilities, our spiritual abilities. And we'll look at that a little bit later on. There's two ways that you maybe can make application with this man with the withered hand, in that, first of all, you could look at it as it was just a part of him. It wasn't all of him that was dried up. It was just a part of him. So you and I can make personal application here that this, maybe your whole life is not drying up. Your whole spiritual life is not drying up. Maybe it's just one area of your life that's drying up. Maybe it's just one part of your life that's drying up. And so it was with this man. And we ought not to make light of that. I mean, you think of how important your hand is. You think of what you couldn't do if it was just one hand. Because it being a dried up hand, Brother Scott, lets me know that it probably was not, you know how most time when you tie your shoe, you use both hands. So I would say more than likely that hand that was dried up was not helping the other hand. I'd say it was a part of the body, but that was it. I'd say it didn't have any function to it. I'd say it didn't have any abilities to it. I'd say it was just a hand, it was just there. Have you ever felt like that? That you have part of your spiritual life, it's just there. It's just attached, it's just hanging there. It's not doing anything, seem like. So you can look at it that way. And we need to look at it that way. What part of my life is drying up? I'm going to church, but what part of my life is drying up? Is my Bible reading drying up? Is my prayer life drying up? Amen. You can mention that in several areas that makes up your whole Christian life. What area is drying up? And more than likely, listen, this man knew it. Long before it ever become real visible, long before it become very, very publicly noticed, he knew something's wrong with this hand. And you know, you and I can detect that when there's a problem going on in our spiritual life, whether it's in our prayer life or whatever. We can tell there's a problem before anybody else does. Amen? But the other way that you can look at this is that instead of it just being a member of your body, it's just a part of you, you can look at it as a church, as a church. Not everybody's drying up, maybe just one member. But you can go to church in both of those applications. You can be going to church and struggling with that thing of drying up. And I don't believe God wants us to be drying up. I don't believe that's the will of God. Do you? Amen. I don't believe that's the will of God. In fact, there was nothing attractive about that hand. When it was in that dried up condition, nobody looked at that and said, wow, boy, I wish that was me. I wish I had that. In other words, when we get in that dried up condition, whether it's just a part of our life or whether it's us as a church member, nobody's going to look at us and say, well, you know what? I want what they've got. There's nothing appealing, there's nothing attractive about being in a dried up condition. And so, but the second way you can look at it is a church member, a person in a church. Here was a man that was actually in a sanctuary or in a synagogue, and I don't know how many people was there, could have been several for all I know, but yet he was there, but he was the only one that had a drying up issue. He was the only one having that. 1 Corinthians 12 is a very classic scripture that talks about there's one body but yet many members. One body but yet many members. Amen. It wasn't every member that was withering and drying up. It was just that one. It was just that one. And I don't know, I didn't have really a chance to study this out, but I don't know if this was contagious. I don't know if he caught it from somebody. But I do know this, you run around with somebody that's drying up, more than likely it's going to get on you if you're not careful. Or if you're drying up, you'll spread it to others in your family or so on and so forth. Amen? So we don't know if it was contagious. We don't know. We know it was some kind of a paralysis, somewhat of a disease in that fashion. He still had life in that hand. I want to stress that again. He still had life in that hand. This member still had life, But yet there was a lack of liveliness. And the Bible says in 2 Peter 1, we've been begotten again unto a lively hope. We are called lively stones. And God wants us to be lively, don't he? Amen? As a church. But I got to noticing some things about that. What are some of the causes? Or what was the cause? What happened? What was the deal here? Well, I know what it wasn't, too. I know what it was. At one, it wasn't because of the other members. He still had one hand that was working. He still had his arms and legs that was working. Everything was fine. It was just that hand. And if you look at it as a church, not everybody's dried up. Aren't you glad of that? Well, I'm glad every time I go to church and I'm having a dried up issue, I'm glad that others are not drying up. Amen, that's right. So you can't blame other members. You can't blame other members of the church as to if you're drying up. Amen. We want to sometimes. It's her fault, his fault, their fault. But really, most of the time when I'm drying up, it's definitely my fault, and there's something in my life to cause that. So it wasn't other members. You can't blame other members. And secondly, it wasn't the place of worship. It wasn't the place of worship. It's amazing, isn't it? And I've often said this, and I've said it, and I still say it, that most of the time when I'm drying up spiritually, it's not a location problem. It's a condition problem. Amen. It's not where I am as much as it is what I am that's bringing about the drying up condition. So it's not other members. It's not the place of worship. And a lot of people, sometimes they think that's the issue when it's a heart issue. Amen? But I found out that, and one fellow described it like this, when it said this man had a withered hand, or hand drying up, that there was a blockage on the inside. And this is the way he worded it. This commentator said that blockage had stopped the inner juices from flowing. What about that? So it wasn't an outside problem, it was an inside problem. A blockage of some sort inside that prevented the inner juices, as it was described, from getting to that hand. Amen. And so I thought that was amazing, isn't it? That it's an inside problem. When the hand's drying up, you have an area of your life drying up, it's an inside issue. Amen. Well, the devil won't ever tell you that, though. The devil will tell you it's external. The devil will tell you it's somebody else. The devil will tell you it's circumstances, when really it's an inside situation. And we know that's so because you can look through the Bible, and not just in the Bible, but you can go through church history and read about people that went through all kinds of problems. I'm talking about martyrdom and everything, and they never lost their joy. They never dried up. So it can't be circumstantial and it can't be external. It's internal. Little boy took his watch one time to the watchmaker. It wouldn't work. And he told the watchmaker, I looked at it. He said, the band, there's nothing wrong with the band. He said, there's nothing wrong with the face. There's nothing wrong with the, you know, the stems and the wind-up section, or the little stem there. He said, I don't see what the problem is. Nothing I can tell is the problem, but it won't work. And the watchsmith just simply said, the problem is on the inside. And he opened it up and he found out there was a broke spring on the inside that prevented it from working. Everything externally looked fine, but it just wasn't working. And I believe the problem is internal, don't you? No doubt about that. So that's a little bit about the cause of this drying up. What about the condition of drying up? The condition of drying up. Well, you think about the drying up, just that term, and the first thing that it says to me is that it's a condition that's a slow process. This didn't happen overnight. It didn't just happen. Amen? It was a slow, gradual process that this hand became a dried or withered hand. Boy, isn't that the way the devil operates? He knows if he moves quick, you're probably going to reject him, resist him, recognize him. But he moves slowly. He moves slowly. And you know, we've all heard that illustration about a frog. You can throw a frog in the hot water and he'll jump out. But if you throw him in cold water and just slowly increase the heat, he'll stay right in there till it kills him. Slow process. The devil's willing to wait all of your life to ruin you. The devil's willing to wait many, many years. He's willing to just do a little bit along, wait a little bit along and go plumb to the end of your life before he ruins you. He's willing to do that. Not only did I notice that it was a slow process, but I noted it was a shrinking process. Now, when something shrinks, what does that mean? That means it's much smaller now than it was. Okay? The man with the withered hand, the drying up, it brought him from standing tall and to small. So small, amen? And boy, the devil wants that in your life, don't he? He wants that in my life, don't he? Make you smaller where you don't cast a big shadow for Jesus. He wants you small. And so this drying up process, it takes you from being wanting to be a big Christian to being a small, just there. So withered means to be dried up. Dryness had set in. Amen. I thought about John 4. When the well of water on the inside springing up into everlasting life, we have no excuse for being dry when we have that on the inside. So not only was it a slow process in this condition, it was a shrinking in this condition. Things in your life's getting smaller. Your prayer life's getting smaller. Your devotion time's getting smaller. Amen? And so on and so forth. But I've seen thirdly, when that hand got dried, it not only went through those two things in its condition, but the next thing happened was it got still. It got still. It lost its movement. Amen. Well, you have to watch that. You can tell when you're starting to dry up, you start to get still and inactive. Mercy. God help us with that. The head was still giving signals to the hand, but the hand wasn't responding. The hand wasn't responding, amen? No matter how many others were still moving, he wasn't moving. That member wasn't moving. A member that used to move. A member that maybe that hand at one time had been raised to praise the Lord. That hand had been used to work. A right hand in the Bible many times was used to represent power and authority and work and ability. But now it's a withered, dried up hand, so it's not being used. So it becomes still, and then it becomes stiff. It becomes stiff and hard. Lack of flexibility, hardness set in. When a person's drying up or a part of your life is drying up, you become hard, become uninvolved to being able to help other members. Being able to help other members. And the next thing I've noticed about it is that it becomes strengthless. It becomes weak. It lost a lot of ability. Weakness had set in. Boy, the enemy knows if he can get you weak, he can get you wicked. The devil knows if he can get you weak, he can whip you very easily. And we know when the devil wants to attack us, what's he looking for? When he's attacking us, he's looking for our weak side, right? This man's right hand was withered, and so if a person was going to attack him, it would make sense to come onto that side of him. Why? Because he's vulnerable. He has no defense right there on that side. And so the devil is wanting to bring about a weakness in our life because of dryness. Disability took over. He lost his ability to grip things, be able to hold on to things. He lost that ability, amen? People that used to could handle things now can't handle it. Why? Because of the drying up. Numbness set in. Numbness had set in where once there was feeling, replacing the sense of touch with numbness. Boy, I don't know if anybody can relate to these things, but I sure can. And it happens when there's a dryness taking place. You become numb and you lose that sense of feeling. You don't feel nothing in the song service, don't feel nothing in the preaching service, don't feel nothing in your prayer time, you don't feel nothing when you're reading your devotions. Boy, it's easy to get there. It's easy to get there. And also, when it become that and those things I mentioned, next, it's seen by others. It's not just small, shrinking, shriveling, becoming stiff and becoming hard, but also it is seen by others. Withered from within, but it's witnessed from without. As soon as people saw that hand, they knew there was something wrong. Amen. Knew something was wrong. You won't keep it hid if you're drying up. You won't keep it hid long. It'll be visible. It'll be public. Everybody will know it. Nothing attractive about it. Nobody wants it. If it's contagious, they'll want to stay away from you. But I'm glad that's not all the end of the story. The cause, the condition, I'm glad there's a cure. And that I'm glad of that. I'm glad the Bible lets us know the outcome of this. Amen. There is a cure. And this is what caught my attention as I was reading sometime back Matthew's account of this. It said, listen at this. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, if he fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? And he says in the next verse, how much then is a man better than a sheep? He's talking about that man with the withered hand. He said that that man is more valuable than a sheep. A sheep fall in a pit, you'll help him. Here's a man with a withered hand and he's more valuable than a sheep. So isn't that's a blessing to me that when we get in that withered condition, that drying up condition personally or part of our life, that Jesus still values us. Praise God for that. He's not looking for amputation. He's looking for restoration. He's wanting to restore us. That's right. He's wanting to get us back on track. But I found in this curing process, of course, it all is related to Jesus. The first thing I noticed was that it requires a restoring power of a person. And his name was Jesus. No telling how many times this man had been to the synagogue when Jesus didn't show up. But boy, business picked up when Jesus was there. Amen. And boy, we know around here, we know enough to confess it, that if Jesus don't show up, we're spinning our wheels. We're basically wasting our time because we don't have the ability to restore and to reverse the situation that's taking place. There's a restoring person on the scene. Jesus showed up. What if that man had stayed home that day? What if that man would have stayed at the house that day and said, you know what, I'm not going to go today. And they find out that Jesus showed up. Jesus had the ability to touch him and he stayed at the house. I bet he was glad he was at church that day, don't you? Huh? No doubt about that, amen. One encounter with Jesus turned the whole situation around. And that's a blessing, amen. I'm glad Jesus is interested in you when you're drying up. Jesus was interested in this man when he was drying up. Amen. Jesus took the initiative and stepped in his direction. Amen. And went through the whole process of restoring him. So not only do we see there's a restoring person, and boy, it's hard to get our eyes off of people and get our eyes on him as to be our help. But there's restoring prerequisites. Jesus is not just going to do it. Jesus told him to do some things, and the Bible says he did it. The first thing he told him to do in verse number 8 was to rise up. You can look that up in your dictionary or your Strong's, and you'll find out it means to awaken. It means to awaken, to arouse from sleep and from inactivity. When I read that definition, Brother Carroll got wrote in a flyleaf of my Bible, when I read that definition, it made me wonder if this man that was drying up was not off just maybe off in the corner somewhere. Of all that was going on in that synagogue, and he was asleep. He's probably thinking, nobody cares about me. Nobody notices my condition. No, there's no power here. There's no power to reverse my situation. And he probably was just sitting over there enduring to the end of a service. Well, I've been to church like that a few times. Just enduring to the end. Restoring prerequisite, he told him to rise up. That is, he got his attention. He let him know, I'm talking to you. And he's saying, rise up, arouse, wake up. Amen. What if the man hadn't have been obedient? What if the man hadn't have done that? No, you're not talking to me. Look at this hand. You can't be talking to me. You can't be talking to me. You can't have your eyes on me. You're not picking me out of this whole crowd to help me. Look, you're not interested. Oh yeah, Jesus is interested when the dryness is creeping in. So he tells him to rise up, and then he tells him to stand forth. Tells him to stand forth in verse number 8. Had a withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. That's embarrassing, isn't it? Here's a man that evidently was ashamed of his hand. Probably had it covered up or probably kept it hid or in his pocket all the time, trying to hide it. But Jesus is making him an example. Jesus is having him to rise up, and then he's having him to stand forth in the midst. He pulls him out into the middle of the crowd, pulls him into the middle of what God has got going on, or what is going on in that sanctuary. And I found that to be true. A lot of times Jesus wants to make somebody an example. He wants to show others, I can work in your life. Amen? So he tells him to rise up, and then he tells him to stand forth. Amen. In spite of your embarrassment, in spite of people looking down on you, stand forth in the midst. And then down in verse number 10, he tells him to stretch forth his hand. He told him to stretch forth his hand. And the Bible said this, and he did so. He did so. I'm talking about prerequisites. That don't sound like much to us. Rise up, stand forth, stretch forth. That don't sound like much. But can you imagine what that man felt like? I don't know. More than likely, there was probably pain associated with any movement of that hand. Probably pain. Probably wasn't comfortable. It probably looked awful. It probably looked awful and probably was embarrassing. But Jesus said, I want you to stretch forth. In other words, extend that dry area of your life out in front of everybody. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? I ain't going to the altar. I'm not going to do that. Well, maybe the Lord wants you to. Maybe the Lord wants it to be public. Amen. So there's prerequisites that is involved. Don't accept it. Be dissatisfied with it. You think that man was dissatisfied with his condition? No doubt about it. He probably every day of his life said, I hate it. I hate my hand is in this condition. But if you accept it, you'll never do nothing about it. Amen? Accepting it would be final and would get no help from God. You know what you do, this man would have done if he had continued on this condition? He would have had to have adjusted his life to make up for that dry area. He would have had to make every change in his life to adjust for that. Instead of getting that correction, that restoration, he would have to correct, he would have to adjust and change everything in his life to accommodate that dry condition. Obedience and willingness is essential. The Bible said in verse number 8, arise up, stand forth in the midst. And look what he said it did. He rose and stood forth. He obeyed. Verse number 10, he said, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so. And he did so. A lot of help can be had from obedience. Just doing what God says. Amen. And then the Bible says this. His hand was restored, whole as the other. God's able to turn it around. God's able to to deal with that blockage on the inside. God's able to deal with that dryness. And that's just a few things the Lord impressed my heart to give to you tonight about just going to church but drying up. Going to church but drying up. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you to help me, Lord, to make applications, Lord, to my own life in this area. Whether it be applying it to an area of my life, an area of my Christian life, or whether it be me as a church member, drying up. Going to church, but I'm drying up. Lord, I pray, dear Father, that you'd take the simplicity, dear Lord, and the truths of what has been shared with us tonight. And Lord, I pray you'll use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to not accept it, make excuses for it, blame others for it. Help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, I'm drying up. Though I'm still faithful to go to church, though I'm still there, I'm still involved, but I'm drying up. Lord, I pray you help us with that. You deal with us as you see fit tonight in this congregation. And Lord, what you do for us in this invitation, we'll thank you and praise you. For we ask it in Jesus' name.